Okay, how is everyone?
Very good.
You can be American on me today. It's the one time I allow that to happen in your presence by speaking back to me. So I'm going to be talking about spiritual gifts here today. And we're going to look particularly at the gifts we see in 1 Corinthians 12. So we're going to be talking about that. But before we talk about those gifts, I just want to talk a little bit about power. So, you know, in Corinthians, at the beginning of Corinthians, it talks about how God uses the weak things, the foolish things of the world, to shame the wise. Yeah? And, you know, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, or all kinds of things like this, we know that God is powerful and he can do amazing things that transforms our lives and transforms our communities. And so, but he chooses to work through people like us. People like us who are messed up people. Yeah? You know, sometimes we think that people who are used by God have got it all together, but they're human beings who are learning to depend on God, not necessarily people who have it all together. They're people who've been transformed to become more like Jesus. They don't necessarily have it together. And so, you know, I want us to, when we're talking about this, to approach it from the point of view that God uses the weak things of the world, the foolish things of the world, to shame the wise. I don't want any of us to disqualify ourselves or think that this doesn't involve us for some reason or another. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Yes,
you know, I loved what Rachel was sharing this morning about, you know, do not despise the day of small beginnings, because, you know, that's what God does all the time. He is doing things and in ways that we don't always realise, and he's working out his purposes. So here we are, a little church, a little village in England. There's nothing particularly special about us on one level, although we are all extremely special and God is doing something special. But if you see what I mean. But yet God is working his purposes among us, and those who've been part of the church, you know, the journey in the past, we're not here anymore, and those of us are here. But then it's not just us, it's his whole church, and people have prayed over years, and God is doing things. And sometimes we just need to try and look afresh at what God is doing, and try and look at the big picture. For example, tiny little thing, the village fair yesterday. I want to say thank you so much to Denise for organising amazing stall. And, you know, we've been going to the village fair for years. And yesterday it was so busy with people, which we haven't, we've had loads of great times at the village fair, but we've not experienced that. And, you know, I just use that as a silly, it's not a silly example, but you understand what I mean, about the fact that there is something about perseverance, not giving up and staying faithful to who God's called us to be and what he's called us to do. And trusting that in the midst of that, God is working out his purposes, and he's bringing his kingdom, even when we don't always catch hold of it. It's like every now and then, like in this week, a couple of things happened. And I get these moments where I think, wow, God is like doing something amazing. But yeah, there are other times when I can feel disappointed about what I'm not seeing happening. But it's like, actually, you've got to trust God and trust that we are being faithful to him. And he wants his kingdom to come more than we want it to come. Yeah? So I just want to encourage us. I just feel like God is doing good things among us. And I feel like this is a good season for us. I know everything's not perfect, but God is doing good things. And I feel like, you know, we're going to look back in years to come and think, wow, all these things, God was working together and standing together, and this is the fruit that's coming out of it. And sometimes it doesn't always happen in this magic. You know, sometimes we think, oh, God can just sort it out like that, and it will all be fine. And he doesn't always do it like that. Most of the time, he seems to be working for a bigger picture and process. And so that's why the issue of us trusting in the nature and the character of God and his goodness, trusting in what he's doing, is really important. Because if we don't believe that he's good and we can trust him, then we'll get disappointed by the speed of things. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, just want to say that. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. So if you want to go on your Bibles or on your smartphones, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Okay. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works in all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. This is a very important point. If you think that you're weaker, you're necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honourable, just remembering the last time I read this passage in the journey, which caused me to hysterically laugh. Those of you here would know me. Those members of the body which we deem less honourable, on those we bestow more abundant honour, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honour to that member which lacks, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. So, there's loads of things there. It's a good passage. And when we look at spiritual gifts as well, it's good that we look at it in the context of which this chapter is written, which is in the context of we, the Church of Christ, are a body with many members and we need everybody. It's not about one person who's got all the gifts and they're going to come and save the day. That's not the way that Jesus works. He works through the body, us together, bringing who we are and the gifts that he's given us and working together as one. That is what God does, which is good, isn't it? Sometimes that can be bad when our ego is at work, because we want to be the one who's going to save the day. Maybe some people probably don't feel like that, but others may do. So I'm going to talk through each of those 9 gifts that were listed. I'm going to explain to you from my understanding what they mean. And a few stories. And then I'm going to bring it together and just talk about this as one, and we're going to have an opportunity to respond and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So, the first one, word of wisdom. American.
Woo! Woo! Oh,
okay, if you go in your Bibles back into the Old Testament, into 1 Kings, chapter 3, you'll come to a very, quite a well-known story, which maybe you may have heard. I'm not going to read it, but just so you know where it is, it's 1 Kings 3, verses 16 to 28. And this is an example of, like, a word of wisdom. So, King Solomon, he has two ladies come to him, and they're both saying that this baby is their baby, okay? One of them says, they both started off with a baby, one of the babies died, and they're both saying that it was each other's baby that died, and the other one nicked the baby in the night, and it wasn't really their baby, and all this kind of thing. So they've got a dispute coming on. They've come to the king to settle the dispute about who is the true mother of this baby. Now, Solomon, in this moment, has some wisdom that comes to sort this out. Does anyone know what he does? Yeah. So he says, bring me a sword and I'll chop the baby in half and you can have half of the baby each. And then one of the ladies pipes up and says, no, 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 give her the baby. And he knows in that moment that she is the mother, because a real mother would rather the baby be alive and not be with her than be dead. Yeah? And so that's an example of when you're in a situation and you need that supernatural wisdom to come. Okay? There could be all kinds of different examples of that. You know, I personally think it's a bit of an example of a word of wisdom in Jesus. That might be unusual, but I was just thinking about this morning. Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000, okay? The disciples come to Jesus and it's like, you know, what can I do? These people, the thousands of them need food. Jesus says to them, you feed them. Why do you think he said that? Because clearly he knows they haven't got any food. Do you get what I'm saying? So I think in that moment he has wisdom that he's helping them to step into a life of the supernatural, believing in miracles by him saying that to them. They're all like, oh, what are we going to do? They get the little boy with the thing, bring them to Jesus, it multiplies. To me, that is an example of a word of wisdom. So I just use that as a thing. Then, you know, we often get a word of wisdom working with the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. This is like when the Holy Spirit gives you some very, very specific knowledge about a person. Now, he doesn't give it to you so that you know something about them, so that you can beat them over the head about it and be like, ha, 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 I know this thing about you. He's doing it because he's wanting to minister love and life to the person. So, woman at the well, story in John, most of us have probably heard it many times. Okay, for those of you who don't know the story, it's Jesus is sitting by the well, it's in the heat of the day, a Samaritan woman, Samaritans and Jews don't mix with each other. She comes when everybody else is keeping away out of the sun to get some water from the well. She ends up having a conversation with Jesus and it goes really deep. And he basically, in the context of the conversation, says, yeah, you've had five husbands and the one person you're with right now isn't your husband. Now, he's not saying it to be like, you bad, terrible person. You have five husbands and the person you're with is not a husband. He's saying it because there's something about that encounter which is making her think, wow, he knows who I am. And that's like the Holy Spirit is working through that. And that unlocks something for her in that moment that she realises, you know, she has an encounter with God, that she goes back to the place where she's from and she tells them all about this Jesus that she's met, and many of them come to know him. Do you see, like, that was the purpose of it? And so sometimes, you know, we have, like, we, in our meetings, which, you know, that's one small part of where God wants these gifts to be used, know, sometimes we see it in people saying, God's saying someone with a particular illness, he wants to heal it today. And again, that word of knowledge can be used to release faith in the moment. But sometimes, if you get some knowledge, you then need to know what to do with that knowledge, okay? That's where, like, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom can be working together. Because if sometimes, like, God might tell me a specific thing about someone. Now, is it right for me? Sometimes it will be to go up to that person and say, God's told me, bang, 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 about you. Often it may not be right at all for me to do that. It might be that God is wanting me to pray into that situation for that person, or he might really want me to be mindful of it while I'm interacting with this person. That's where you need the wisdom to know what to do with the knowledge. Does that make sense? So we don't, you know, God doesn't tell us things about people so that we can expose them and make them feel rubbish. This is not God's ways. He only ever reveals things in order because he's wanting to bring life to someone and cause them to encounter grace. Yeah? Does that make sense? Silence.
Sorry. You don't know now, and I can re-explain. Okay.
The next one, gift of faith. There's a sense in which, you know, obviously all of us are exercising faith to believe that Jesus is who he says he is and to walk that out every day. But there are some times when I think that it's like a gift of faith comes to you and you just know, you just have this sudden, like, kind of like ability just to believe that God is going to come through in this situation. You just know. You know, it's like, we always operate from the point where we pray about things. We operate based on the character of God. What is God's... God is good. So therefore, what is the good he's wanting to bring in this situation? So we pray and we act out of that. Yeah? But we know that, even though we don't always understand why, sometimes the things we pray for don't get answered in the ways that we're hoping. And so we have all those things going on. But then, within that, there are moments when suddenly, like, faith comes and you just know God is going to do it. Has anyone ever experienced that? Yep. So I have got this really, this is like my favourite story of my life of this gift, is when I first left university, which, you know, was many, many, many years ago, when our current students were like three. And in those days, we had dial-up internet, and we had massive computers with big screens, and not everyone had one. Anyway, I was living in Windsor, and I really wanted to have a computer because it would make my life easier in some ways to do emails and such. And I didn't have enough money to buy a computer, so I'd like been praying for a computer. And then the Sunday morning, I woke up, and I just thought, God's given me a computer today. And I went over to my desk and put my hand on my desk. This is like a great story that doesn't happen all the time in my life, but it's a nice story to tell, you know, there's other bad stories that happen if you're doubting or whatever. But this is a story of faith. I put my hands on the desk and I was like, I just blessed this desk with a computer. And I just thought, I know God's going to give me a computer. I went to church, the church that I went to at the time, and one of my friends, who I think he must have vaguely known that I wanted a computer, but not in a major way, because I don't think I really mentioned it, he just said to me, oh, if you want, I'm going to give you my computer. I was like, yes, that would be great. He was like, oh, so you can come and get it today. He basically gave me his computer, and by the end of the day, I had like a proper, fully functioning computer in my bedroom. You can be American. But, you know, obviously, it was great that I got a computer, and it was really helpful. But the most important part of that story is not the fact that I had a computer. It was my journey with God, and him responding to my request, and him releasing that gift of faith, which just, like, help me to grow in that. Does that make sense? And I'm sure that lots of you have experienced similar kind of things. And sometimes, you know, when I'm stepping out in something which is risky and impossible, when I'm praying, you know, I'm kind of looking sometimes until it gets to that moment. I just feel like, yeah, I know God's in this. I know he's with me in it. Of course, I'll still have wobbles. You know, it's not like you can... But there's something inside of me that's leaning on that. I feel that God has, like, released faith into that. So, like, for example, when... you know, some of you know that I was living in a flat across the road there. And then a flat in Greenacre Court came. I was going to have to move out of that flat. And a flat in Greenacre Court came up, which is where I live now. And it was really nice and what I wanted. But it was available a few months before the contract on this one had run out. And I was like, oh, if I don't take that flat, you know, I'm probably not going to get one like it at that price, because we know how it is around here. And then I was like, but if I take it, I run a risk of having to pay double rent, which I don't have any money for a few months. So I was like, but I feel like God kind of is saying about this, I'm not sure. And then I was just praying about it every few days, and then suddenly I had that thing again, which I recognised was a similar thing to the computer. Do you see what I mean? It's like somehow you like learn to recognise these things. And I just thought, oh, I just feel to go for it. And actually, I managed to get another person to move into my flat. I found it out a couple of days after I'd moved in. So at that point, I was thinking I was facing 2 months of double rent. And then they contacted me and said, oh, we've got someone. So I actually only paid like about a week of double rent in the end, I think it was. So I'm just sharing the positive examples. You know, it's not like this is always happening every day. There's loads of times when I'm like, God, oh, where are you? Please, I need you to do this. I want to, like, balance it out. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Gifts of healing. I guess we all know about those things, and we want to see more of it. And we just need to pray more for people, basically, I think. My dad's a good example of a gift of healing. You can say something. No, you don't need to speak, just say yes. If you want to hear more of my dad's stories, he's coming to the monkey's forehead and he appreciates new people to listen to them. Anyway, I've told you this before, but when my dad was very ill in hospital, and you know, it was this weird thing because at one moment, I thought to myself, I see what I see before me, and that he's like really, really ill, but I just know that God's going to heal him, and that's obviously what happened. But I know that we don't always see healings happen, but I just want you to pray more, and we'll see more happen. Okay. Moving on. Effecting of miracles. So, you know, we have healing miracles that happen, but then we also have unusual miracles that happen, like Jesus turning the water into wine. You know, I've heard it so many times, but don't you think it's like a really weird miracle?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, but God does unusual things in that. You know, there's a little phrase that says, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. Have you heard that? And, you know, I was thinking about when we were first going for it with the hub, it was, like, so crazy because we had a falling apart building and a great vision for what we wanted to happen, but we had no money. And the roof, like, just to stop the water pouring in out the front was going to cost us, like, £10,000. We had no money. Do you know what I mean? But again, it's in those moments where, you know, I personally felt, and others around either felt it or were willing to go along with it. I felt like, I just know God is in this. Just got to do it. And for me, the hub has been an amazing example of just miracle after miracle of what God has provided. I mean, Denise is doing an amazing job, and this year alone, Denise has already raised, and it's probably gone up since the last amount, £30,000 for the hub. And when I tell people, like, I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago who's high up in the business world. he said to me, I can't believe you've raised that money this year. Like, that doesn't happen at the moment. Because obviously we know the economic situation that we are in. And the reason it happens, obviously, Denise is very diligent in her job, and others, we've all been as diligent as we can with what God has given us. We're not just like sitting around expecting it just to fall from the sky. God wants us to work with him. But I think it is God, through the miracles that are happening, you know, doing that. And so I use that as a general example. I'm sure you've all got examples of these things. Okay, prophecy. So if we look, if you just go a few pages over in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we go to 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1 to 5. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And then if you look at verse 3. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. So there's something about prophecy that is building us up. It's comforting us. It's inspiring us. It's edifying us. It's helping us. And so that's why we are encouraged in Scripture to prophesy. You know, I know the whole thing of the prophetic can be taken in a way bigger scale to think about how we're engaging the world and all of that kind of stuff. But in the context here, kind of just looking at that level, if that makes sense. So I would encourage you all to prophesy. Every single one of you can hear from God and can be used to bless others. I mean, like, I'll use Michelle as an example, so that she'd appreciate that. I'm not using Beth as an example. Fortunately, she got off the hook. but, you know, who saw the painting that Michelle did, prophetic art, in the prayer room? You know, that was amazing. For those who haven't seen it, you should see it. It basically says Royal in the Mess, and it's an amazing picture. And so profound for us all to remember that in the mess, our identity is sons and daughters of God and all that that means. And, you know, Michelle just went with the flow and did it, didn't think much of it, you know, but God used it to bless. And so that, you know, we're not here just for ourselves. We are here to engage with each other and with the world around us and to let what God is doing in us pour out for the building up of each other. And so prophecy is a great way to do it. Distinguishing of spirits, or sometimes it's called discernment. Now sometimes when we talk about distinguishing of spirits, you know, it can be a bit like us identifying which demon we need to cast out. Does anyone ever think of it in that way?
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be involved in it, but I think it's bigger than that. I think it's us discerning, what is God doing? What is going on here? How can we, who are carriers of the Spirit of God, which raised Jesus from the dead, be bringing life into this situation? And so I think it's a really vast thing of discernment. You know, at the moment, my new latest box set obsession is Prison Break. Does anyone watch Prison Break?
Yes.
Does anyone love it?
Yeah.
Now, in Prison Break, for those who haven't watched it, I won't spoil it, because, you know, it's basically about someone breaking out of prison. And as in all good, true American TV shows and films, there's some conspiracy. There's some conspiracy involved in government, as it always is in these ones. Anyway, and, you know, it's kind of like you've got this guy who's the main character, who is a good man, who's paid the ultimate price to be caught, didn't really commit the crime. He looked like he was about to commit something, and so he went down to get into prison so that he can break out his brother, who is innocent. And the whole process of it all becomes very involved, as you can imagine. But all the time, this guy, who's the one trying to break them out, is having to work out, who can he trust? Who can't he trust? What are the motivations of these people? What are not? Da, 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 da. And I just think, in some ways, that's a bit of an example of how discernment works. Does that make sense? It's not the whole thing, but it just gives us a little picture. But, you know, it's like we can look at it on a big scale. You know, at the moment, in our country, there's all kinds of things going on. You know, one of our MPs has just been murdered, and that's a terrible, heartbreaking situation. The whole campaigning, whichever side you're on, of the EU thing, has not been good. It's not been good. And we as the church have an opportunity to be a light within that situation and to demonstrate something of the way of love in those situations. The problem is, when you see some kind of injustice that happens, you can respond to it in the same spirit that it happened. Now, I'll explain to you what I mean by that. Back in, I think it was 2003, it was just before the Iraq war that happens there. And I went to Canada to visit one of my friends who lives there. And while I was in Canada, the war started. And she lives in Toronto. And I was in Toronto when there was like a demonstration happening against, because they didn't want, you know, the war to happen. And I went and just watched it for a little bit. And you know what? There was as much hatred among the people who were against the war as the very thing that they were campaigning against. Does that make sense? Because they were coming into it with that same spirit of hatred and like, you terrible people, we should kill you. They were like burning effigies of George Bush and all that kind of thing. That, and so that's basically coming up against something in the same spirit. You need to come up against it in the opposite spirit, or the spirit of God, which is about love. And, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak out against injustice. I'm talking about what spirit we're speaking out in. Does this make sense? So, like, for example, there's a little example of Jesus. I don't remember where it is. So, Luke 9, Jesus is with two of his disciples, James and John, and some stuff happens, and James and John are like, should we call out to God to bring down fire and destroy those people? And Jesus is like, no, I haven't come to destroy life, I've come to save it. You don't know what spirit you're of. Yeah? And so, as Christians, we need to make sure that we are connecting with who God is and that we are being of his spirit, not. Does that make sense? So there's so much you could say on that, but I just thought I'd throw those points in. Okay, we're coming to the end, you'll be pleased to know. So, the last one is speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. And so, you know, I believe that if anyone wants to speak in tongues, that they can. I know for some people, maybe, for whatever reason, you haven't experienced it, it's become like a thing. And I don't think it has to be like it. I'd love to pray for you if you'd like to. You know, there's something about speaking in tongues when we're by ourselves that connects us with God, and it builds us up and it helps us to connect with him, to pray, and all of that kind of thing. But there's also something we don't really see very much of, so much these days. When I was growing up, it seemed to happen more, is when, in a kind of meeting sense, someone gives a tongue, and then somebody, maybe the same person or somebody else, has an interpretation of it. And that's what this is talking about. So, again, there's more to say on these things, but that's just a brief overview. So, coming to conclusion, why, you know, in chapter 14, verse 1, it says that we should earnestly desire spiritual gifts in the context of pursuing love. This isn't about us and us looking good. This is about God's love being shared. And it says in, which verse is it? Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So this is what it's about. And so I would encourage every single person in this room that if you make yourself available to God, he's going to use you with spiritual gifts. You know, there will be some of us who become more used in certain gifts than others. And that's also part of, we don't all have it all because we need each other. So if I know that somebody is particularly on it with something, I'm probably going to go to them for help when I need that gift at work or I see somebody else who does. But even though I do believe that, at the same time I also believe that all the gifts are available to all of us, and there might be moments where actually right now in this moment I really need a word of wisdom, or I really need that gift of discernment, and there isn't anybody else I can quickly go to. You know, I don't know how God decides that it all works, but I'm just saying it's messy. And so I want to encourage us, not just so that we can have lovely Sunday meetings, which I want us to have, where the gifts are flowing. We want that to happen because that's encouraging. We build each other up and we inspire each other to go and live this out. But when we're at work, when we're at uni, when we're with our friends or family, it's in those moments as well, people who might not know Jesus, that we can bring these gifts. And there's something that can unlock things for people, and it's about bringing God's kingdom. So basically, I want to encourage us to be up for this. Every single person in this room. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Good. And in order to be up for this, the bad news is that you're going to get it wrong at times.
Never.
You're going to have to be okay with failing. There are so many times when I've done things where I just like want to die and run away. And I think, oh my goodness, that was such a bad thing. But, you know, we get back up and get on with it, and then a few years down the line, it's a funny story that we remember. You know, we can't think that we need to become perfect in order to be used by God in these ways, because that's not the way God works. God doesn't make it all nice and easy for us often, because he's trying to draw us into relationship with him, dependence on him and on each other. So usually he just gives us little bits of stuff, little nudges or things to draw us in and push us out. So, yeah. This is about grace. It's not about performance, which doesn't always work well in the culture that we live in, because we like to think it's all about performance. But it's not. It's about grace. And the more we learn to live in grace, the better it is for us and for everyone around us. So we're just going to pray. First of all, I just want us to take a few moments and just to think about what I've been talking about, and just, you know, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? There might be specific gifts that he's encouraging you, that he wants to use you in. Maybe even the idea that you can be used by God is a thing. It might be that even now God is prompting you, that he wants you to pray for someone for something, or God's giving you some kind of word for them. But let's just take a few moments to reflect on where we're at. Let's be honest. Do we want to be used by God in these gifts? Maybe for some of us, actually, we don't really want to. It's too scary. And we're quite happy staying in a comfort zone. And, you know, then we might think, well, why is that? What's that about? You know? So can we just close our eyes, maybe, if you'd like to, and just think about this for a few minutes and kind of pray and see what God wants us to do. Yeah, so just as we're praying, I feel that maybe for some of us here, even though this might be scary, just need to come up and just share something that God's saying to us to share. So if that's you, if you just want to come up. And I just think about, I just tell a story. When I was like a teenager in a youth camp, I had an opportunity to get prayer for if you wanted to be used in the gift of prophecy. And so this person was praying for me for it, and said, you know, I really feel like God's going to use your voice, and was saying all these different things. Anyway, I was sitting there, and I some of you probably heard me tell this story before. I really felt like God say to me, to say to my friend, to go to her and say, God says you're going to be strong. Now, I went through this whole dilemma in my head. Is it God? Is it not God? Oh, say it's not God. What will happen? Oh. And I thought to myself, it's not really bad to go up to someone and say, God says you're going to be strong. So even if it's not God, it's fine. So I went over to her and I said it. And she just like burst into tears and she was like, oh, God's been telling me that he wants me to do this at the other. And I've been saying to him, I'm just not strong enough. And I was like, I can actually hear God. So, if someone wants to come up and share some things, please do.
Can we put some music?
And what I want us to do is I want us to also just maybe get together with people around us and let's pray and see some of this stuff. If you really want to be using certain gifts, pray with the people around you, or I would love to pray for you. But can we like stand up, if that's okay, if you're able to. And so let's start moving around and doing a bit of praying. If you feel like you need to pray something specific over someone, be bold. Doesn't matter if you get it wrong. But yeah, Lord, I just thank you that you are a God who's always doing good things and we want to join in with what you're doing. And I just pray for us here in this room that you would just come and give us a real boldness to step out of our comfort zones. It is not in our strength, but it's by your Spirit. And so, Lord, I want to pray specifically for people who have been stirring to step out of what they're comfortable with. Holy Spirit, would you just come and bring a boldness that, Lord, as we almost practice amongst ourselves here, that we would be carriers of this into the day-to-day of our lives, Lord. Being you to people who need you, Lord. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just want there to be such a flow of your gifts, your power among us and leaking out of us wherever we go, into this village, at Royal Holloway, where we work, with our friends, with our family. Lord, we know that your compassion is far greater than we can comprehend, Lord. And you choose to use messed up people like us, Lord, who are willing to step out with you. Sometimes